Good evening. It is good to be with you and good to see you once again. Tonight we will be studying the word forgiveness. That's the word, hopefully, that you've been studying this week and reading those devotionals that are prepared for you and given to you by way of book so that we can be studying together and learn some things so that when we discuss the word in depth, as we will this evening, you'll already have a good understanding, a grasp of those things, and might be able to recall upon some of those facts by way of making application of them, so that we can better live lives that are pleasing to our Father in heaven. The word forgiveness, you may have heard it said that forgiveness is the fragrance that the flower leaves on the heel of the one who crushed it. Various people have been attributed as having said that quote. Many individuals over the years, the most notable of which was Mark Twain. However, if you look at that quote in depth and search for its origin, the origin of that quote is quite uncertain. So we want to give credit to whom credit is due, whomever that may be. Several, then, are the explanations of this quote, as some have suggested various things. One I particularly like is given as if a flower can forgive the thing that destroys it by imparting a sweet smell onto it. How can we, as humans, do any less than forgive minor transgressions perceived by us at the hands of our fellow humans? That brings a question. What is true biblical forgiveness? In the time that we have remaining for our study this evening, I want us to examine the explanation of some of the definitions of forgiveness, look at two aspects of forgiveness, and then discuss the practice of forgiveness. First, we give attention to explaining forgiveness. The Bible uses several different terms that all work together to explain what is meant by forgiveness. There are five key passages that I believe can help us to understand the concept and to see the term in its proper use. And we want to go through these as we explain forgiveness. The first is found in Exodus chapter 34. In Exodus chapter 34, Moses was asking God to spare the Israelites. He more specifically was asking God to not treat them in the way that they deserved. He said, Exodus chapter 34 and verse 9, "If now I have found favor in your sight, O Lord, I pray, let the Lord go along in our midst, even though the people are so obstinate, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us as your own possession." The phrase given as "pardon our iniquity and our sin" is literally stated to be, "and you will forgive for our crookedness and for our missing the mark." It was Moses' desire that God go along with them and be in their midst, even though he recognized the people to be obstinate. In other words, stubborn and stiff-necked. In order, though, for God to go with them, they needed His forgiveness. They needed the restoring of a relationship. And so in Exodus 34 and verse 9, we see that one way of explaining forgiveness is that of a restoring of a relationship. We might forgive a person and thereby restore our relationship with them. Another passage is in Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 17 reveals that forgiveness is treating with mercy one who deserves anger. Note what Nehemiah said in chapter 9 and verse 7, or verse 17. They refused to listen and did not remember your wondrous deeds which you had performed among them. So they became stubborn and appointed a leader to return to their slavery in Egypt. But you are a God of forgiveness, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, and you did not forsake them. Forgiveness here is characterized by grace, compassion, being slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness. And when we forgive as God has forgiven, we do not forsake, we do not abandon the one or ones needing forgiveness. God looked upon His people, and though they deserved for His righteous anger to be given, He treated them with mercy. And He did not abandon them or leave them to themselves. In the New Testament then, Jesus spoke of His blood removing the punishment deserved by sinners for their sins. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28. Jesus said there, "For this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins." The idea here is that the blood of Christ makes it possible for us to avoid punishment that we deserve for our sins. Thus, the term forgiveness carries the idea of granting acquittal, to set one free, to release one, or to pardon. When the crime or the offense is forgiven, no punishment can be issued. And so in the case of our sins, when God has forgiven us of our sins, He has forgiven us of the very offense, the very crime we have committed against Him. And thus, no punishment is to be issued in the life of one who has been forgiven. Paul issued a term, or used a term, I should say, in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 that emphasizes God's grace in forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32 says, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you." Believers are to be forgiving, meaning to forgive someone on account of the goodwill one has toward a person. God has forgiven us because of His goodwill toward us. It is the graciousness of God's pardon on our behalf that empowers us then to forgive one another. This concept was thus worded in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13. "Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you." Meaning that we are to forgive others just the same way that the Lord has forgiven us of our sins. It is then in an analogy of sin being related to a debt that one owes that Jesus spoke in Luke chapter 6 in verse 37 to say, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. And do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Pardon, and you will be pardoned." The term pardon here means to release from. Forgiveness is a release, releasing one from a responsibility or releasing one from paying what one owes. one more passage that will help us in understanding forgiveness is that of Matthew chapter 18, verses 26 through 28. In Matthew 18, beginning in verse 23 and following, Jesus gave His response to Peter upon him asking that question, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?" The Lord said there in verses 26 through 28 that the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything." And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, "Pay back what you owe." The Lord of the first slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him the debt. In other words, the Lord or Master set the slave free. He released him from the responsibility of paying back that which he owed. He released him, letting him go by the very dismissal of the debt. He no longer required him to pay it, but he no longer required the debt to be in account either. Although there are many other words for forgiveness or words that relate to forgiveness, these are the most notable ones. They represent forgiveness as the restoring of a relationship, the treating with mercy one who deserves anger, the giving of or granting acquittal, setting free, releasing, or pardoning one who is indebted. They also represent forgiving someone on the account of the goodwill one has toward a person, to release upon a person's release a person from the responsibility of that which is owed due to the dismissal of a debt. All of these explanations work well to give us a good and complete understanding of the term for our study this evening. But having an understanding of forgiveness, we turn our attention to two aspects of forgiveness. There is the divine forgiveness, which comes from God to man, and there is human forgiveness, that which is extended from one human being to another human being. First of all, we note the divine forgiveness. This suggests a standard of conduct that has been violated and thus an offense has taken place. We might look at 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4 says, "Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness." For human beings to need forgiveness, it is implied that humans have in some way violated a standard of conduct, thereby offending the authority behind the set standard. We might think of it in these terms. God set a standard for living, and He informed man through the written word of that standard to which he is to live. When man therefore violates that standard, in essence, he sins, he needs God's forgiveness. So forgiveness implies that a violation of the standard has taken place and an offense has been given. Forgiveness also implies the personal inability to remedy the violation of the law. We see this in Matthew chapter 18. Verse 25 says that slave who did not have the means to repay his Lord Therefore, he was commanded to be sold along with his wife and his children and all that he had, and repayment be made. So the slave fell to the ground and prostrated himself before him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will repay you everything." One who has the inability to repay that debt owed is just like one who is in need of forgiveness. He is not able, in and of himself, to remedy that violation of the law. One cannot untell a lie once it is told. One cannot uncommit adultery after the foul deed has been done. Take any sin. Any sin that is committed cannot be undone by any human maneuvers or endeavors. Therefore, man needs divine forgiveness. Human forgiveness, or that which is given from one human to another human, is a different aspect of forgiveness. It is the forgiveness that we are required to extend to one another. Jesus spoke of this human forgiveness when he taught his disciples how to pray in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 12. The request he made was that for God to forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. We then are required to forgive those who are indebted to us in order for the Father to forgive our debts. That human forgiveness affects our ability to receive divine forgiveness. So the two aspects work hand in hand, yet they are different and distinct from one another. Speaking of that human forgiveness. Forgiving others was very important to Jesus. He stressed it over and over again in several passages which we have already looked at. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7, and again in chapter 6 verses 12 through 15, Jesus stressed the importance of us forgiving one another. In response to Peter's question about how many times he is to forgive one who sins against him, Jesus stressed the importance of forgiving one another. Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. In the parable then of the unforgiving servant, Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 25, Jesus stressed that importance. In the Sermon on the Plain, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 37, Jesus again stressed the importance of forgiveness between two human beings. In teaching the disciples how to pray, in Luke chapter 11 and verse 4, and again in his teaching the disciples to forgive, in Luke chapter 17, verses 3 through 4, Jesus stressed the importance of human forgiveness being extended between us and those who have offended us, or between those whom we have offended, giving us forgiveness as well. But our forgiveness to each other really has more to do with an attitude than it does a specific act, that specific act of forgiving one. Consider Romans chapter 12, verse 17 and following. It teaches that the forgiving person does not attempt to take revenge upon those who have wronged him. So it's the attitude of not seeking revenge because you have forgiven the one who has wronged you. The forgiving person does not hate the offender. Rather, in spite of the person's evil done, he loves him still. He loves him with agape love. That unconditional love is extended. the forgiving person's attitude is also that of kindly disposed and a tender heart toward his adversary, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32. And so we must forgive with the right mindset and the tenderness of heart that wants to see a person done and treated fairly and rightfully, though we have been mistreated by them. The forgiving person is also of the mindset and disposition to be approachable, meaning that he leaves the door for reconciliation wide open, and he longs for the overall welfare of the transgressor. The forgiving person is not merely passive in waiting for the offended person to repent. Rather, he actively seeks the repentance of the one who has wronged him, according to Matthew chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. Thus, Christians must remember that in this human forgiveness, that there is a principle set forth in Luke chapter 17 and verse 3, which says, "If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him." Two imperatives are found in this verse. First, the imperative to rebuke, and secondly, the imperative to forgive. We must rebuke a brother who is in sin. And when we have rebuked him, if he repents, we must forgive him. These two imperatives set forth the mindset and the attitude by which every Christian is to live in forgiving one another. We can never call upon one to forgive us unless we have committed offense against them. We can never call upon them to give us forgiveness as to God's divine standard and seek His forgiveness then without first taking care of being rebuked by a brother and then forgiven by him. All of this to say, we must develop the forgiving spirit, the human forgiveness that is explained in Scripture. But we are not at liberty to simply dismiss one's evil, thus freeing one, as it were, from the obligation to make things right with God. Divine forgiveness. When we go to a brother whom we have offended, and we seek their forgiveness, if it is a matter of human judgment, human offense, and we have settled the matter once forgiveness is given. But if it is a matter of divine forgiveness, in that we have violated God's standard, although a human may forgive us, we still have an obligation to make things right with God. Thus, so often is the case that when individuals respond at the end of a service, the mind is upon the forgiveness needed by God, that divine forgiveness. But God also has taught us in His Word that forgiveness of the human side, the human aspect. It may be that a public offense that others are quite well aware of needs to be addressed publicly in seeking human forgiveness. Thus, we must consider what should be said about the practice of forgiveness. First of all, we should note that Jesus and His followers demonstrated the forgiving spirit that God would have each one of us to have. Jesus demonstrated it when He was upon the cross, when He said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." Luke chapter 23 and verse 34. Stephen, when he was being stoned, cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Having said this, he fell asleep. Acts chapter 7 and verse 60. Paul, when he was abandoned, said, "At my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them." 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16. So if we are to follow the example of Jesus and His followers, those earliest of followers of His, then we are to have the forgiving spirit to forgive even when the offense is one that would be of such to take our lives. We must also develop the forgiving spirit. In order to practice forgiveness, we must understand the spirit and mind behind forgiveness, but we must also continue to develop that forgiving spirit. Based on Matthew chapter 18 and verse 35, Jesus illustrates that there is a difference between lip forgiveness and heart forgiveness. Look at Matthew 18:35 with me quickly. Matthew chapter 18, verse 35, again, it's part of Jesus' response to Peter upon him asking that question of how often shall a brother sin against me and I forgive him. He said, verse 35, "My heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each one does not forgive his brother from your heart." It's one thing for us to say, "I forgive," but then to hold a record, remember the wrong done against us. It's one thing for us to say, "I forgive you, but I can never forget." It's another thing when one forgives from the heart. Thus, God wants us to have a forgiving spirit that comes from the heart. And we can develop this right kind of forgiving spirit by first of all focusing on God's love for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. 1 John chapter 4 verses 10 and 11 speak of God's love for us. And if God has shown love for us and shown love to us, what then should we do in return to others? We can also develop the right kind of spirit of forgiveness by remembering Christ's willingness to die, His willingness to forgive. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16, it was addressed that Jesus showed us love in His willingness to die for us. In Luke 23:34, Jesus forgave even the very ones who were putting Him to death. We might also develop the right kind of forgiveness by taking note of the value of the human soul, that it is much more in value than anything else gained in this world. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 26. When we see a soul as precious and as valuable as God does, it will be easier for us to forgive. We might also develop the forgiving spirit by meditating upon the passages which we have studied this evening, as we have shown the importance of forgiving others. But it might also help us to forgive if we remember the sins against us pale in comparison to our sins against God. Jesus taught this in Matthew chapter 18, verses 23 through 34. Yet so often we minimize our own blunders while at the same time maximizing the mistakes of others. Jesus brought this to our attention in Matthew chapter 7, verse 3 through 5, when He spoke of the speck or the mote that is in a brother's eye, and yet we do not recognize or see the log or the beam that is hanging out of our own eye. Do we emphasize the mistakes of others while downplaying our own mistakes? We might develop the right kind of forgiving spirit if we could reverse that thinking. We can develop the forgiving spirit when we also consider the manner in which our holy Creator views sin. We can hardly afford to be selective in what sins we will pardon. Sometimes it is the case that we may hear of one who says, I will forgive you if, or I will forgive you, or I could have forgiven you if you had just not have done that. That's not the proper attitude. The proper attitude is to recognize the severity of sin and the way in which God views sin, that it is all the same. It is all an offense against His standard and thereby in need of divine forgiveness. Thus, we would be more willing to forgive those who have sinned against us. Time does not allow us this evening to mention all of the many health reasons and health explanations and benefits that come from one who has a spirit of forgiveness. Yet it should be said that with the spirit of forgiveness, we give ourselves the opportunity to be freed from the weight of carrying around that record book of wrongs against us and the record book of our own guilt against others by which we need to seek forgiveness. It imparts greater health to us when we forgive others and receive the forgiveness which they extend to us, and thereby extend all the greater forgiveness on behalf of others. It is also important that Christians express forgiveness. It is to be said that lip forgiveness is different from heart forgiveness, but lip forgiveness does have its proper place. We should make it known that we have forgiven another. We should make it known that we have forgiven another when they ask for forgiveness, as Jesus taught in Luke chapter 17, verses 3 through 4. But we also should make it known that we have forgiven another when we pray. Mark chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, because our forgiveness of others affects our request for forgiveness. If you have aught against your brother, take care of that before going to your father in prayer. In essence, that is to say, to whatever degree we savor the value of our own forgiveness from God and entertain the appreciation thereof, to that degree will our thanksgiving be reflected in a measure of service to the Lord and to others. We need to follow the example of Jesus and His earliest followers. We need to develop that spirit of forgiveness, and we need to express our forgiveness to others because of what God has done. God has expressed His willingness to forgive. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. But there are certain things which He requires of us in order to receive His gracious offer. He sent His Son to die on the cross that we might have forgiveness of our sins. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7. Our sins can be cleansed by His blood when we respond in trusting obedience to Him, believing and trusting in Him, as Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31 proclaim, turning away from our sins in repentance, Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31, and confess Him before men, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, and thereby being baptized, immersed into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. When one is a child of God, and as a child of God has thereby gone astray, gone away from God's will, transgressed the Father's will, the pardon extended to them is also conditional, Acts chapter 8 and verse 22, upon the child of God being willing to repent. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, upon the child of God being willing to confess those sins. Thus, we see the condition of many this evening. If you are not a child of God, and you have not been baptized into Christ, then you are in need of divine forgiveness, the pardon from your sin, the forgiveness that brings the removal of the debt owed. If you are a child of God that has transgressed the Father's will, you too are in need of divine forgiveness, the remedy for that violation of the law. But if you have in some way offended a brother or sister in a matter of human opinion, then you need human forgiveness. But it may also be the case that you have offended your Father's will and thereby also offended your brother or sister in Christ. And thus you would need human forgiveness and divine forgiveness. This evening, as we sing to encourage you, we encourage you to consider and to think about your need for forgiveness. Whether it be that human forgiveness or that need for divine forgiveness, the Father is the one who sets the record straight. He's the one that really matters in forgiveness. So you need to come to Him and receive that forgiveness as we stand and sing to encourage you.